Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Shope and the Bulldog.
Hi, everybody. The Bills move on to the AFC Championship with a thrilling.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I think I'm good, but I think a little heart, chest pain. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Wow. Yeah, that was tense. That was tense.
Get your Evian. We'll be here for a little while.
Yeah.
27-25, the final. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. The Bills and the Chiefs next Sunday, 6:30. Here on these same broadcast stations. I mean,
Thank you, Mark Andrews.
You want to tee me up? Did you feel the same way the whole week? Like, the one thing, not the one thing, but one thing about the Bills this year has been how they have been able to avoid bad plays. No lost fumbles since week 4. 8 turnovers the whole year. And I didn't. Did you trust the Baltimore Ravens to be as clean in this game?
No, I thought, I don't know, midweek or so, I started really thinking about the forecast, and it ended up not being as cold, but there was precipitation, and I don't think we were anticipating that until very, very late in the week and into yesterday. Started hearing about the possibility of there being some snow during the game. I thought ball security for Baltimore could be a problem because of the conditions. And it wasn't exactly what I thought. I mean, Lamar did just drop it on the one big one where Miller scooped it up and ran way down.
What was that?
It was like hot potato or something. It looked like he threw it to the ground with two hands almost.
What was the pick?
Anyway, tough.
What was the pick? We'll talk about it. Here's Josh Allen.
Obviously understanding the flow of the game there and knowing that if we got points there, whether it was 3 or 6, you know, it made it a full one-score game where they had to go for 2. And that's why, like, on that 4th and 2, obviously we elected to kick, give us our defense a chance to go out there and play. And we made a play there at the end. I'm just so proud of our guys.
How are you reacting now that you're headed to the AFC Championship game?
That's what we've worked for, is an opportunity to play another week. We don't want our season to end on a loss. And this gives us an opportunity to keep going, but we'll enjoy this one. A lot to learn from this one. Obviously, wasn't pretty, but these playoff games, man, you got to win by one. That's all that matters.
And Josh, what was it like in that locker room just now? Is it excitement, relief, looking forward?
It's a lot of everything. We're excited. A lot of pride in that locker room. I said it in my post game. We don't listen to the outside noise, but everyone was saying this and that about us, and we didn't have enough talent, weren't good enough to be in these positions, and our guys just continue to work hard, and we're internally driven. We love each other, and I think you saw how much we played for each other there.
Josh, what goes in seizing the moment at that moment of time? Bernard gets the ball back. What did you tell your guys in that huddle at that moment of time?
Oh, we just said we score, we win the game. And that's obviously we want to get 6 there, so we don't make it as interesting as that one. But again, just it doesn't have to look pretty. You just got to get one more than they do.
Did the game plan? I mean, it seemed like you guys didn't throw the way you normally would throw, especially against that team with that run defense. Did something change in the way the game script went that you leaned more heavily on the run?
I think we're having success in the running game. Obviously, when your defense forces turnovers like they did tonight, it puts you in favorable position where, you know, you don't have to throw that much. And again, we just relied on our backs like we have all year, relied on our O-line. They did a heck of a job.
Josh, what was the message all week that coach been mimicking to you guys since Wednesday?
It was fundamentals in the ball. And it's not something that hasn't changed. You know, that's something that we preach in training camp is making sure we're holding on to the football and taking the football away on defense. And that's what you saw tonight.
You know, I felt like there's a lot of things that had to happen to get to this point, but it just felt like ever since you beat the Chiefs here, that it was almost like that's the game that had to decide the AFC. I mean, did you have that sense as things were going through the end of the season?
No, I don't think so. I think, again, the regular season is what the regular season is, and it doesn't matter how well you perform, you know, when you get to the playoffs. It doesn't really matter. And we lost 35-10 to this team, and, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice. We understand that. We know that. It's a team that we beat early in the season, but it's not the same team. You know, they got some guys back on their defense and their offense. You know, and I can't tell you enough. I don't know much about them because I haven't looked at them because I should have been focusing on the Ravens. So we'll get in that tomorrow.
There was so much buildup in this one in the quarterback matchup. How did you deal with that? Did it affect your approach at all? And then also with the conditions out there, how did that sort of affect the way things went?
Yeah, you know, missed a couple throws. Wish I had him back. But again, I got nothing but love for Lamar. He's one of the greatest to ever put a uniform on and play in the NFL. Honored to share the field with him.
Josh, some of the plays from Khalil tonight. I know you guys have such a deep trust. Just what did he bring to the game tonight?
Yeah, the first third down, huge pickup for us, making sure he caught that one. Allowed us to get points on that first drive. You know, he's so good in the screen game and in the underneath catch and run game. Yeah, that's what he's done all year.
Josh, what is it like on the sideline when the defense is forcing the turnovers? Like, what are the reactions like? What are you thinking when that happens?
Yeah, I mean, the first turnover, we didn't get any points off of it, or didn't score a touchdown, I should say. I don't know if we got points, to be honest. I think we punted, right? So that's one thing. You know, your defense is doing a good enough job of forcing turnovers. You got to make sure that you capitalize on the offense side of the ball. And we didn't feel like we did enough of that tonight. So, again, stuff to learn from, but we move on.
Could you believe that Andrews dropped that one, though? Because he was wide open. I mean, that was kind of a shocking result.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a talk with Von Miller in the off season, and you know, we just kind of talked about sometimes the ball will roll your way or it won't, and that's just an instance of, you know, it rolled our way, and you take it how it is.
Josh, another week to go. First time in a long time, AFC Championship. Back to the scene of the crime, man. What's the focus?
Do whatever it takes to get a win. That's all that matters. But starts tomorrow. We'll enjoy this one tonight. Turn our attention towards them tomorrow.
Josh Allen. What do you think he was thinking when he answered the Andrews question about talking to Von Miller in the summer?
Let me get out of this without saying we were lucky.
Religion, maybe?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to infer that. I didn't think that at all. It was an interesting thing to ask the Bills quarterback, I think.
Bills 27, Ravens 25, now Sean McDermott.
Be here to be in front of these fans and coach in an environment like that. Two great teams going up against each other. Two great quarterbacks going up against each other as well. And just really, really thankful for the blessing that God gave us tonight and just the opportunity to be out there. You know, I know the finishing 10-0 at home this year, just incredible, man. To again, the environment that our fans build here every Sunday, it's not like that around the NFL, and we don't take that for granted. So tough game tonight. You know, a lot to work on in all three phases, but there was a lot of good in all three phases as well. So two good football teams going up against each other, and give credit to the Ravens. They're well coached. John does a great job, he and his staff, and then Lamar and what he does for the offense, special teams, they're talented, and then the same thing on the defensive side. They did a great job, I thought, making it hard on us tonight, especially in the second half on offense. So we were able to get some turnovers, get some key takeaways that were important, and we cashed in on some of those. Probably not enough at the end of the day, but we'll go back and look at it. But overall, great win for the organization, for our fans. I couldn't be happier.
Sean, take us through take us through the last, when you made the decision to kick the field goal, what was your thinking and then how it worked out?
To go up eight, you mean?
To go up eight, yeah.
Well, I considered going for it. Maybe not at 3 yards there. It had a long two, short three, and I think on the scoreboard it was showing three. But, you know, I was if we got it to one, I was going to go for it too. I had to make a decision, and then when it ended up being a long two or a short three, certainly going up eight, you know, I felt like that was the right thing to do there. But if given – you know, you never know, right? But just it was I was thinking about. I was considering going forward if we got it up in there tight.
Sean, you stumbled in this round the past few seasons. What was the feeling in the locker room knowing that you got over the hump in this round and you're advancing to the AFC Championship game?
You know, just like I said before, the mindset is what it's all about. You know, these guys believe play to win, and you find a way, right? So every year is different. There's different reasons for everything. Every one of those situations that didn't end up in our favor, and then the same thing tonight. So again, glory to God for all of His blessings, and we look forward to next week.
So how would you assess Josh tonight?
I don't know Josh's numbers, so you know, I thought he did some really good things, made some big-time plays for us, like he always does. So without looking at his numbers, I couldn't give you anything more at this point.
Coach, Sean, last... finished the match in Ravens physicality. You held Derrick Henry, you know, quite in check, keeping the ball up in the cage. What was the message all week long?
Well, our guys heard it all. They heard it all week long. We're not good, we're not big enough. We're not strong enough. Not talented enough. Not fat. Whatever it is, they heard it. I don't do the social media things, but I think most of those guys do. And look, we did, I think, in the first half a pretty darn good job. Second half, you know, he got rolling a little bit, and he's going to pop some runs. When he gets that momentum going, he's hard to stop. So, but even there, we could have done some things better, I think, fundamentally. So, and when you just look at this game, it came down to fundamentals in the football, and we talk a lot about that.
Last year, Terrell Bernard was pretty distraught. He got injured, and he wasn't able to play in this divisional round. And then today, you have him, and he made some pretty crucial plays for you. I mean, what does he mean to your team?
Yeah, I mean, he's a football player. You know, he's probably one of those guys that, again, a lot of people put under the category of not big enough, not fast enough, strong enough, whatever it is. He's a football player. So he's got good instincts and knows how to find the football. So, you know, that's why he's on our team.
How about his leadership? What is his leadership?
Leadership. Yeah, leadership. And you're talking about a third year. TB's in his third year, right? Third year player that is one of the two captains that we have on the team. That doesn't happen by accident. The players respect him. He takes a lot of initiative day to day in being a leader on this football team and trying to do things right. And so it's pretty impressive that he's able to do that at a young age.
Which against the number one run defense in the league, what gave you the confidence that you thought you'd be able to, and you did move the ball? What gave you the confidence to go head on against them like that?
Well, we believe in our guys, number one. I think that's where it starts, and I know that's where it starts. And then number two is, you know, I think Coach Chrome, Coach Gunn do a really good job of putting a plan together every week. The players execute, they take a lot of ownership of it, of the plan. And then, again, like it's not just the O-line. Tight ends are involved in it, wide receivers involved. You know, so it's a whole offense type of deal.
Coach, how important was it to take care of the football? That's something that you stressed throughout your tenure. How important was it not giving up any turnovers?
No, it's big. You know, our guys get a chance to watch some of these playoff games because we've played the last two Sundays, and so you're able to watch some of the games before our games, and you're seeing games decided rather quickly when the ball is not taken care of. So we got to continue to emphasize it every day. So we go back to work with that.
Do you have an update on Taylor Rapp?
I don't.
Coach, when you've been here for 8 years, and when you hear things, I'm not quite sure if you heard it or not because you don't pay attention to social media. When you hear someone say that Buffalo is a city of losers, how does that motivate you knowing that you've been a Buffalonian for 8 years?
Yeah, no, it's a city of winners. It really is. It's a city of winners. These people in this town are winners. And I've been here just 8 years, but I consider this my hometown. This place is different, and the people here are different. They deserve more than whoever said that about them.
John, initial thoughts about going back to Kansas City?
Looking forward to it. Great challenge. You know, again, another great team. Certainly well coached. Coach Reed does a phenomenal job, he and his staff. Tough challenge.
Are you going back to your office last week?
You'll see. I don't even know what time is it. 10 o'clock. Yeah. We'll see. I need to get a little bit of rest, I think. We had a long week this past, the past 2 weeks in particular. So we'll see.
Sure.
Ray Davis, an important carrier.
You've had unwavering support of Tyler Bass all season long.
Yep.
Ravens get some momentum in the second half. You bring them on for a 51-yard field goal. Can you just talk a little bit about how you've had this unwavering support and confidence in him all season long to make kicks like
that? Yeah, mindset. Again, mindset. You know, his belief in himself is really where it starts. For me to believe in him, but yet he doesn't believe in himself, I don't know if you have anything there, right? But for him to believe in himself first, that's really where it starts. He's done a great job.
Sean, can you take us through your reaction to that last two-point conversion and just what you thought of it as you saw that?
I mean, it's, you know, by God's grace, you know, we survived that situation. And, you know, again, it's fundamentals. I'm probably sounding a little bit old school here, but the value of fundamentals, right? So we can learn something from that on our team, on our football team here.
What did you do better defensively against them this time from the first time you played them? Was there anything you learned from that game that you think?
I mean, we watched it. The defensive staff did a great job of putting a good plan together. You know, we locked ourselves in a room. They locked themselves in a room for hours upon hours trying to figure a plan out. And, you know, look, they got a lot of yards, but we were able to, you know, kind of make it hard at times and take the ball away when we needed to. So that was good to see. And, again, they Coach Monk and, you know, obviously John leads it over there. They do a phenomenal job. They get, you know, tremendous talent on the offensive side, and they're hard to stop, right? They're so explosive. Lamar extends plays. Just what two great quarterbacks out there tonight, you know, battling, going head-to-head. That was, I'm sure, for the fans, fun to watch.
Coach, were you shocked to see that they didn't do a lot of yank and pull with Lamar today?
You know, I don't know. There's only one ball, so you can only hand it off and throw it, you know. So we were, you know, working on it during the week. It's just a matter of who was going to get the ball. Was it going to be Derek? Was it going to be Lamar on the pull? He did enough, you know, just scrambling and extending plays early in the game on the first third down, and then, you know, down late in the game here. So it's you really need 12 guys on the field. If the refs would allow that, we'd be in better shape, I think.
Sean, what did he see out of Khalil tonight?
I thought he did some good things. You know, again, just he played a Khalil type of game. Again, the Ravens defense made it hard on us, and they make you earn every blade of grass, every yard, and then some. So it's just a good competition there at a high level. That's good. All right, thank you, guys.
Sean McDermott's post-game news conference brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Let's get you the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up.
A very modest day for Josh Allen, other than getting in the end zone twice on keepers. 16 of 22 passing, only 127 yards. Allen was sacked one time. He carried the ball 10 times for just 20 yards and those two rushing touchdowns. Ray Davis also got in the end zone, 4 for 29. Cook led the way, 17 for 67. Ty Johnson, 5 for 31. And a nice one at the end there to put the finishing touches on this two-point win. Receiving-wise, Khalil Shakir, 6 for 67. James Cook, 3 for 15. And then it's ones and twos the rest of the way. Lamar Jackson, 18 for 25, 254, two touchdowns, one interception. Derrick Henry, 16 for 84, one rushing touchdown. Justice Hill had some moments carrying the ball, 6 for 50. Lamar himself, 6 for 39. Receiving-wise, 4 for 73 for Isaiah Likely with a score. Rashad Bateman, 4 for 66 with a score. And Mark Andrews, 5 for 61. No scores, a key fumble, and a massive drop at the end that could have tied the game, would have tied the game, and who knows, we'd still be playing and maybe having a different postgame show.
Wow. But for God's grace.
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll get connected with the fans powered by Verizon next. Get to your local Verizon store. I don't know if they're still open, but pretty soon. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. It's off to Kansas City again. It's the 9th time the Bills and Chiefs will have played since October of 2020, since and including that meeting in the regular season. The Bills have won the last 4 regular season meetings with the Chiefs, but lost the last 3 in the playoffs. Here we go again. Time out, then we'll look for your calls next and talk more about tonight's win. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Handoff goes. No, it's an Allen keeper, and he's going to run it in. A four-yard touchdown run on the read option keeper by Allen. 17 is a scoring machine.
Our Eye on the Quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Allen with two rushing touchdowns on the day. Again, quickly, the passing stats, very modest. 16 for 22, 127, 10 carries, 20 yards. Those two rushing touchdowns I already alluded to.
Interested at all in Sean McDermott's explanation of why they kicked a field goal at the end to go up eight? So I thought, first of all, on that Allen run, I thought he went down on purpose at the one. It was shades of the game in Baltimore that they won. What is it now? 3 years ago when they were down like 20 to nothing and came back and won and go down at the 1 yard line, couple of extra plays to bleed clock and, you know, score easily anyway. They spotted at the two. Then on the third down play, Allen gets stuffed there, and McDermott said just now how basically the ball was closer to the too close to the three,
right,
for him to want to go for that. I don't know. Like I don't blame them for not challenging the spot. I mean, you need the time. You want the timeout. They're ahead in the game, but you want the timeout. But I don't know. Like, it didn't bother me that they kicked it, but were they really at the three?
I don't know that they were at the three. I never felt like I heard fourth and three. I thought they were, you know, whatever. He's telling you it was two and a half. I don't, whatever, you know, splitting hairs here.
Yep.
I'm more curious about not just when they got down there, just pushing it until you got in the end zone, instead of doing what they did, which was out of the shotgun, run it. And boy, was that a scary moment, Allen looking at James Cook there while he's in the grasp of tacklers, looking like he's going to pitch it.
Yeah.
Holy cow. That probably is the thing. As much as Andrews bobbling that two-point conversion try and then eventually dropping it, that moment, that flash for like a tenth of a second where it looked like Allen was going to throw that ball to Cook like a basketball pass. Like, oh, my God! Anyway, I thought that sequence, they could have just plowed it in from there, but they didn't. And so, yeah, I mean, I know that what is in vogue right now in the league, and with good reason. I mean, we almost saw exactly why, for good reason. It's go for it, go for it, go for it. And I, you know, some people were even referencing to me, it's the Chiefs game all over again. Why not go for it? The Chiefs game, they were only up two, right? So a field goal only gives you five, and that's no good. But a field goal to put you up eight, they're going to have to do everything to just get me to overtime. And they almost did everything to get me to overtime except the last piece. And they couldn't get it. So, I mean, it worked out in the end. I think it's entirely defensible to kick there. But I think the earlier parts of that sequence, I mean, you could have just, you know, hammered that game away. And I'd be surprised if Allen was going down, because the clock, I mean, was not so much time left. If you go up there with a touchdown to add to your lead there, like, Baltimore's got to score twice, and I don't think that's – I mean, it's possible, I suppose, but I think getting in the end zone would have been the goal there regardless of the clock.
It's 3:29 left when Bass makes the field goal to make it 27-19. It's 1:33 left when – Andrews drops the two-point play. So still, like, the Bills would have had, assuming, you know, a kickoff, a touchback, whatever, the Bills would have been in pretty good shape to get to a – who knows?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, that was definitely noticed. Like, obviously you don't want them to score. I wasn't in a mindset of let them score now at this point. They'd been too sloppy with the ball all night for me to concede anything, I would say. But – when they did score, the first thing that was said in the room I was in was, okay, there's a lot of time left. Thank you. But they ended up not needing it.
Where were you? What room was this? Who was in there? Fred?
My son Owen and I watched
Family?
The game together. That was it. Just Owen. Yeah.
Okay.
My wife was too nervous.
She had more people.
She walked through a couple times, but she can't sit and watch.
Here's Russ with us. Hi, Russ.
Good evening. How are you? First of all, I've been a fan since Joe Cribbs, Joe Ferguson, Frank Lewis, You know, and going back to some of the great playoff wins, I remember Bill Simpson picking off that ball in the end zone, that famous Jets game. A couple of things. First of all, I was surprised at the end of the game, and maybe you'll think I'm crazy, because I think the Ravens, they want to score, and obviously that's the first and the only thing they have to do. But I was pretty surprised when they got down to the 22 that they didn't run a play to get the Bills, maybe, because like you said, when the Bills got 90 seconds, you know, I said, okay, even if they score the two-pointer, we have enough time. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. I thought they might run a play to milk. They don't want to give Allen back the ball with someone.
Well, I mean, they threw a touchdown pass instead.
Right. Okay. All right.
It's very reminiscent. It's very reminiscent to me at the end of the Chiefs game last year, the playoff game, where Allen goes for Shakir in the end zone, and it doesn't get it, and they end up having to settle for the field goal. And regardless, whatever happened there, there was going to be time left. And Baltimore, right, I think, did kind of the similar thing, except they hit the pass.
Well, right, but they're down eight. Like, what were the Bills down? Three?
Right.
Like, they're down eight. They have to score and get the two. Whatever happens, like, I don't know. I would never criticize them for throwing the touchdown pass, but okay.
Right, but let me go back to what I think the biggest play of the game was when Baltimore had that first and goal at the one or the two, and the Bills, they stopped the run, and then they sacked Jackson, and then, you know, they only came out with a field goal, which was huge. Were you surprised that the Ravens didn't, you know, I watched a lot of football, and, you know, the fake to Henry where Jackson, you know, fakes it and pulls it back and just runs. They didn't have, you know, the Jackson did run a few times, but it wasn't that design play, which the Ravens used a ton. And last, obviously, Jackson is an explosive player.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't run that play a little bit more.
I wonder, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was big on this during the week, that I thought that ball handling specifically, now they turned it over three times without doing a lot of that, like you're saying. I wonder if John Harbaugh or Lamar will be asked about that and whether they would concede that the conditions weren't favorable. They were worried about handling the ball that way because of the weather. I don't know. I'm not trying to validate my opinion from during the week, but it was very curious that they did very little of that.
If I were Baltimore, which is a dumb thing to say, announcers, it's an announcer's crutch, like they're always saying, if you were the Baltimore Ravens, which no one listening is the Baltimore Ravens, I would hate this game so much. The caller is talking about, what, the second quarter, it's 14-7 Bills, and the Ravens are on the two, first and goal at the two. Derrick Henry on the first play loses one. Then there's a Jackson sack by Rousseau, and then an incomplete pass to Henry. Like, the Bills know what to do. We just talked about toward the end of the fourth quarter, and maybe they didn't do it then, but how do you not just power your way home, right? Like, that's what everybody here was afraid of after the first meeting all week, and Henry loses one on the first play, and then it's, I would just hate this game if I were Baltimore. There have been the Ravens play like a team that should never lose. Three turnovers, drop passes, what's that? Have they ever converted a two-point play? All the Pittsburgh games come down to a failed two-point play. Like this game, the first one would make me more angry than the second one. I mean, the second one, catch it, but you're still in tough if you make it. 27-all, minute and a half against Allen. But the first one, you know, you're just pounding the Bills. The Bills don't even look like they're on defense. They're on the field. This is the Chiefs game last year, that Ravens drive. They go for two, spread it out, and Milano makes a great play on that play. Like, that isn't to be ignored. Yeah. But just, like, how do we ever lose? And they go, enjoy. They go to the offseason trying to figure out what to do this year.
Right.
Because, again, they're like the best team in the NFL, and they can't get through. And okay,
and
well,
and Jackson's tough business. Right in the middle of it. I mean,
that's right.
He put up big numbers, you know, made some big plays down the field. And, you know, I can't blame him for Andrews getting stripped by Bernard, nor for Andrews not holding on to the 2-point conversion. But the interception was a horrendous throw. I don't know what Romo was talking about on the broadcast. I mean, yes, a blitzer came up the middle, but I don't think Lamar was in peril there. I think he just launched that and overthrew his receiver by 10 yards. It was a terrible pass. And then his fumble, I mean, DeMar Hamlin's just barely hanging on to him, and he just dropped the ball.
That's right.
So it was a terrible job by him there. So, yeah, I mean, they certainly made their mistakes. And, you know, the Bills keep managing to not do the same thing.
It's amazing.
Just hope that luck never runs out on them here at the least opportune time next week or the week after, or 2 weeks after that, actually, if you're lucky enough to get there. But they were, you know, they were sloppy. We thought they'd be sloppy, and they were.
The Bills have 35 takeaways and 8 turnovers through the divisional round. On to Kansas City. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. More postgame discussion next. The Bills win 27-25 and will face the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium next Sunday at 6:30 our time. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Hand off to Ty Johnson. Running over the right side. He's through a hole. He's got the first down. And he slides at the 29-yard line. That's going to do it with 1:22 left.
The Bills over the Ravens in dramatic fashion. I don't know. Do you like that? It was pretty good.
I think dramatic fashion is understated.
I feel like dramatic fashion, you probably need to come back to win. But the Bills hold on to win. It'll do. 27-25 on to Kansas City for another playoff meeting with the Chiefs next Sunday, 6:30 at Arrowhead Stadium, following the NFC Championship game between
Washington.
What are they called again?
I think it's the Commanders.
I can't say it. I'm the air. I can't say it. Washington at Philadelphia. Cool. Philadelphia just, I don't know if that was dramatic fashion either, but they survived the Rams in the snow today.
Yes.
Let's talk some more about our game. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Let's get to Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I think dramatic fashion is a pretty accurate statement there. Just a quick question, and then I'll get your thoughts on it. I just think our offense was maybe a little more tame this week. We didn't see Josh scramble that much, and just felt overall it was a little tame offensive performance, maybe due to the weather, which leads me to my next point. How about that weather today? Unbelievable stuff, you know? They had a bunch of hot guys doing hot things out there, and perfect day in Buffalo. Love it. Go Bills.
Right. Perfect day for a former quarterback to be shirtless, screaming in the end zone before the game kicks off.
Not really, a factor, right?
It was, what, Fitz shirtless?
The weather. It was cold.
I mean, I don't know. I think if the weather isn't the weather, I don't know that I expect Lamar to drop that ball that went the other way for the Von Miller return. But, you know, that might be it. Maybe if the conditions are better, Mark Andrews doesn't drop a couple passes, including the game-tying two-point conversion.
Okay.
So I think it played some part. That was my campaign slogan here during the week, Mike. I'm not going to back off from saying the weather wasn't a factor now or was a factor now. The offensive, they are very fortunate that they got their 27 points. Because they did not, there was a lot of, like, early in the game, running, it was working. Very similar to other games we've seen this year where they sort of stay with that. First and 10, oh, here's, you know, a couple of yards. Now it's second and 8. Romo in the second half was big on this. Like, that, you know, you don't want to just make Josh save you on 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7. They had a very modest game offensively. And I think, you know, I'd expect them to need to do more against Kansas City. But, you know, I'm saying all this recognizing that they got 27 points in the game, even with a very modest, I mean, their yards in this game, what were they, 270 yards, 260? I mean, it's a very, very modest game offensively.
How do you feel right now about next week?
I don't know yet.
I'll check back. In a few minutes,
you want me to lie? I mean, I don't know yet. I'm still.
The Chiefs did not
pressing here from this one.
The Chiefs did not have to win yesterday, either. Like,
they haven't had to win 17 or 18 times this year.
I know, God, but they always do.
Just keep winning,
except when they came here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you better get them this time.
Yeah.
Let's go to William. Hi, William.
Hey guys, how you doing tonight?
Great, thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about how, like, the Ravens matched up very well against the Bills. Like, I think that's something that everyone's talked about, how the Ravens matched up against the Bills really well, the Bills match up against the Chiefs really well, and the Chiefs match up well against the Ravens. The Bills played a game tonight like the Ravens matched up well against them. I feel like the offense was not what it has been, but they did what they needed to tonight. Granted, sitting there in the fourth quarter, I was definitely like, come on, guys. Like, when we were at the, what was it, the 6 or 7 yard line, I wanted us to score, put it out of reach. We didn't. The field goal, you got to do it.
The game is the three turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game is the three turnovers to zero. That's it.
And maybe the Bills aren't clean if they aren't as conservative. I mean, there is that. But yeah, take care of that. One mistake by the Bills. I try to be pretty positive. You know, I don't try to think of, oh, what's going to go wrong while I'm watching these games, just to not just, you know, put myself in that position needlessly sometimes. But I admit to you, when that game got tight, I thought this would be a hell of a time for a turnover from the Bills. I mean, like, it'd be a hell of a time for that luck to run out on you. But thankfully, it didn't. They just kept hanging on to the ball.
Well, it's, as we've talked about all year, it's always both. There is design in it, and there is fortune in it. And they have played they've had a very clean season. Some of that is who you're playing, it's game script, but it's also knowing, you know, Allen, really, more than, but Cook also, like anybody, what to avoid. And the two plays that Jackson made in this game, the interception and then his fumble, are the football game. Like, that's the season. And it, I don't know, if you listen to us all week, like, or even all season, that's, I think the world of Lamar Jackson, but I'm not surprised. Like, that's kind of what I thought would happen in this game. It's why I thought the Bills would win.
And they needed it. The Bills needed it.
They needed it. That's right. Like, you needed, I'm texting with Sam Paniadovich from BetQL this afternoon. It's like, how do you feel?
You too?
Yeah. What did you tell him? I said, if the Bills are +2 in turnovers, I think they'll win. If they're not, I think they'll lose. And they're +3, and they won by 2 points. The Ravens didn't punt. You know, like, the mistake, the drop 2-pointer too. Like, the Bills are not doing those things this year. And if it continues, they're going to win the whole thing, I think. I mean, Kansas City doesn't have to turn the ball over either. It's harder. You're talking about the weather, just sort of the noise and the whatever it is. You know, it's different on the road. But the Bills have tons of experience going to Kansas City. This is the first year in a long time they haven't been there yet. But they've been there so many times. I don't know. Like, I'm not so much worried about that. And if they, again, don't turn the ball over. I mean, anybody at this point who doesn't, well, look at the Lions. What did they do last night? They were the talk of the league all year. They turned the ball over constantly. They got Jameson Williams throwing a pick.
Yeah.
I mean, just what a tilt. And the Bills are not, they have not yet this year really come close to that kind of situation. The Denver game could have put them there the way it started. It didn't. This game, Baltimore also is up 7-0. Didn't everybody think it was important to get the lead? Oh, don't defer. Take the ball. Whatever. Keep the ball. Don't turn it over. The other guys do, and, you know, look what happens. 27-25. Kansas City next week. Here we go again. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this break. This is Buffalo Bills football. The Bills advance past the Baltimore Ravens tonight, 27-25 in the cold at Highmark Stadium. On to Kansas City. You want the weather, the early forecast
on
that one?
I'd like an early look ahead. Sure, yeah. Yeah. And what you tweeted this earlier, I think, right? Kansas City -1.5?
Yes.
Early line? Okay.
I'm staring at it, too, to see if it moves while we're talking.
Okay.
I have not seen that, but I've got temperatures in the low 40s next weekend in Kansas City and then 34 on Sunday, so it seems pretty normal.
Mac Hollins is going to walk into this game buck naked.
Mac Hollins, our hero. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, 27-25, the final. Let's talk about it some more. 803-0550. We'll go to Ryan next. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, Ryan.
So, listen, I'm looking at tonight's game, and I think what everybody wanted to see was the battle of the MVPs. Everybody wanted to see Josh Allen throw for 350 yards.
Oof.
What we saw was 127 yards, and we still beat what is arguably the best team in the NFL over the last 6 weeks of the season. And everybody's a little stunned, and everybody's kind of giving a little bit of pause in terms of the optimism going into next week. I'm excited.
How do you know that?
Our MVP.
Who are you basing this judgment on that fans are like, what? What'd you say,
Mike,
nervous?
Mike asked me how I feel, and I said I didn't know yet. I was just being honest.
How many people have you talked to? We're doing the post-game show. I haven't talked to five people yet.
I heard the I don't know yet from you guys, and I've been walking out of the stadium.
All right.
I've been walking out of the stadium and seeing people shaking their heads and say, I don't know the Chiefs.
Come on. Really? Really? That's most people? You're telling me you're leaving the stadium right now and you're surrounded by people who are sort of scared of next week? That's the that's the takeaway from tonight?
I think there's a good vibe going on, but I don't know. I watched that game yesterday, and the only unit on that field that I was afraid of was the Houston Texans defense. I'm excited to go to Kansas City. I'm excited to be 1-point underdogs. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Good. Here's Andy next. Hi, Andy. Who's he talking to?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great, Andy. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I can confirm the traffic report. Very heavy volumes on Southwestern and Abbott right now. But am I sensing some optimism from you guys?
Thank you for confirming the traffic.
We
weren't sure if it was accurate. It's my nephew.
Am I sensing some optimism from you two here? I think you don't want to show it. Bulldog, you said you didn't know how you're feeling yet. Bulldog, I think you're feeling pretty good. Let's be honest with the people.
Well, let's try that for a change. Let's try being honest once.
I am being honest. I don't know yet. That game was a ride. To me, there was a lot riding on getting over this hurdle. And they did it, and it took a lot. It was dramatic, and it got a little scary. And so that's it. Like, I don't know. I'll get somewhere. I'm just not there yet. I don't think the Chiefs look infallible. Like, to me, you're not going to play a team that can't be had. I think they're a better matchup than Baltimore. I'll admit that. But to go into that game after this game just might be asking a lot. That's all. I think it's a heavy lift.
That's what it is. Just like with this game tonight, I think you can get anywhere. The Bills have beaten them 4 years in a row, but not in the playoffs. Is it due to happen? They're on the road, the benefit of the bye week. I mean, you can just get anywhere you want. And if the Bills win the turnover stuff every week until the end of the season, they're going to win the Super Bowl for the first time in their history. Like, that's probably going to happen. I don't want to say it. I was going to say the best two teams left are playing in the AFC Championship. I don't know. Philadelphia didn't have a great day. They have a very good roster. I don't know if that's right. Like, the three best teams left are the Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles.
I think the AFC is going to be favored in the Super Bowl.
They are already. That's right.
Whoever gets there.
Yep.
I haven't looked at that, but that would surprise me if the AFC wasn't favored.
I saw -150 before the Eagles game kicked.
Okay.
You can get anywhere you want. There's almost nothing left to say about Bills, Chiefs. The Chiefs have the benefit of the extra time in the lab, and I would think if anything is left to figure out on their part, figuring out Baltimore and Buffalo would have been part of the, you know, preparation here in the last, really, it's almost a month now since they had a meaningful game until yesterday. And they'll have an extra day. They won't have to travel. That's one reason why they're favored. Having played yesterday afternoon versus tonight, our guy Ross Tucker said that, you know, maybe this wasn't his word, but it's a problem for the winner of this game to have to come off of it and then go to Kansas City and beat them. what happens there. It's probably a close game. They usually are. And you just have to not make the mistake, or you have to make the play. And who knows if that's going to happen. The Bills are certainly capable of winning there. I don't think there's any debate about that. They're certainly capable of it. And they have had a season where they have continued to demonstrate that they are not, you know, vulnerable to the big mistake. Like, they have just had a super clean year.
Yeah, they're not beating. They're not beating themselves. Beat themselves. Yeah,
and that's tonight. That was the difference in this game. Easily, the Ravens had the yards. The Ravens had. I mean, they didn't punt. The Bills. I'm careful with the word forced. But I don't know if the Ravens' turnovers were all forced, or if their punts are always forced. They're not forced. There's no rule that forces you to punt. But still, like, Baltimore didn't punt in this game. They turned the ball over three times and dropped a game-tying two-point conversion that was in their lap with a minute and a half left. Don't do that, is my advice to the Bills next week. How about that? Write it down.
I agree. Now I feel good.
Write it down.
Yeah. I think the Andrews punch out by Bernard is obviously forced. The other mistakes, Jackson just throws up a terrible pass that, like, any safety playing the way Taylor Rapp was playing should be able to make a play on that ball. It was not a hard play to make. So it was a gift, I'd say. And then his fumble was a joke. His fumble, I don't know if I'd ever get over it if Allen fumbled the ball like that. It was just such a weird looking play,
right? And that was always, well, not that it would be on plays like that necessarily, but we knew kind of all season that the loser of this game, what does the loser of this game do about their, you know, their future to be different? They signed Derrick Henry, which everybody thought was, you know, brilliant. He ran for 1,900 yards, and they went out in the second round, which is worse than they did last year.
With him on the sideline with the game on the line.
Yep. Well, it's, you know, they're down. When he's down, he doesn't play.
Right. That's how it goes. Right.
So what do they do now? They trade for Barkley? Like, what are they supposed to do next year that's going to get them to, you know,
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but to me, they have an easy, much like the Bills last year, having A.J. Klein chasing Kelsey around and, like, down so many guys. I mean, look at the receivers playing in this game for them tonight. Now, they're only missing one guy, but he's their best guy, and we're talking about practice squad guys and just, like, what are we doing here? So, you know, and in a game where, you know, they still got there. I mean, they got the score they needed and just couldn't get the 2 points to force overtime. But to go into that situation, I got to drive the field in a playoff game, and, like, Nelson Aguilar is my number one receiver. I mean, I wish you luck.
I know.
So I think for them, maybe that, you know, it'll be excuse sounding, but I think there's some truth in it. Like, get another pass catcher. They lost Bateman in this game too, I think.
I mean, he goes down every week.
Yeah.
Touchdown early last week, or no, it was two games ago, I guess, against the Browns. He went down. He came back in the game. This game went down. Tylan Wallace, that's how good Jackson is. Just, you know, Anthony Miller, Flowers. The thing is about them, who's their best guy? Andrews is their best guy. And what happened with him? Like, that's a huge fumble and then the drop.
Right.
So that's not a great place to be. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it either. at least tonight. At least for a while, I'm not going to worry about what they do. But that's what, you know, was on the line. One thing that was on the line tonight is, like, imagine if the Bills had lost this game 27-25. And, like, what do we say they should be we're all talking about what they need to fix next year. Like, everybody on hold wants to talk about Sean McDermott or something. Because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, that didn't happen, but what would it be? Oh, do they need you? You might say the same thing about their receivers. Have they lost? Right. Oh, right. One guy's walking in barefoot. That's cool. Do we have anybody good?
Right.
you might want to say that, but they won. 27-25. The Bills over the Ravens. They'll be facing the Chiefs in Kansas City next Sunday, 6:30 kick. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. And we're back. Bills over the Ravens, 27-25. We already have had the most recent traffic report confirmed by a caller, but I can add to that confirmation with a text from my brother-in-law who said he has not moved an inch yet since getting to his car.
I can
lot
also
seven.
Tell you my people on the ground leaving the stadium said vibes are off the charts.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
Right. Of course. Right.
Of course.
Like, listen, you asked me how I'm doing after sitting in my living room all day waiting for this. I mean, I started watching soccer at like 9 in the morning.
Everton.
And I'm just, yeah, right. Hey, nice.
Let's go.
Nice. So I, you know, oh my God. Like, I've gotten more used to the 4:25 kickoff, but when 4:25 comes and it's still 2 hours and 20 minutes away from the start, oh my God.
I know.
And, so you know, late. I'm working, so it's not like, you know, I'm not throwing back 8% IPAs or anything. I'm just sitting here in my own, you know, tension that I tried to avoid all week long. And now, you know, it's over, and we're doing this. Like, I believe me, I'm looking forward to three solid fingers and some four roses in about half an hour here. I'm very, very, very much looking forward to that.
At what time will you go to bed then?
Right after I drink that.
Good for you. That's a good.
I'll trust the process. I'll log on to X and use all my fake accounts to go troll Ravens fans. You know, that'll take about a half an hour. But you know, one bourbon bed.
Wow, that is.
That's the plan. I'll let you know. Hear the
follow up tomorrow.
You can see if I'm still active on social media after midnight that my plan went awry. But that's the plan for now.
There isn't another game tonight or tomorrow night? Or?
I know, darn it. Well, there's a college game tomorrow. That'll be
fun. That's not... whatever. Let's go to Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
How's it going?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what a great game. I want to give props to Tyler Bass. If he'd messed up even one of those kicks, we'd have such a different conversation right now. And also, thank you to Coach McDermott for not calling a timeout before that last two-point conversion. I guess even he can learn and understand that sometimes you let the game flow.
I think if there's 20 seconds left, he calls a timeout. But there's a minute and a half, because I said this out loud, again, back to my living room.
Good point.
Still at this point bourbon-free. I said, here comes the timeout. And Owen said, no, he's going to save it.
I'm good like, point.
Smart kid. You got a future.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think that's McDermott learning a lesson. I think that's, I got to save this timeout. It's, you know, we're gonna go try to win the game here. So that's what I think was the genesis of that.
Yep, I think that's a great point. Anything, what, less than a minute, less than 30 seconds left? Maybe less than a minute, but what is it, a minute 33?
Yeah.
He wants to keep the timeout. He knows to keep it.
Maybe if he's got all three, maybe he takes one there. But maybe not. I mean, you're still, I think, going to be trying to win the game with a minute 30. You'd rather have the three timeouts than two.
What did he have?
He had two.
When did they use one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But I'm almost sure he had. There were two left. If I'm wrong on that, and he had all three, then same point. He was saving them. For off.
Did they call a timeout at the 3 yard line before the field goal?
Yes, before they kicked the field goal. Yes.
Three and a half minutes left.
He got stuffed. There was that play where I talked about how Allen looked like he was going to chest pass it back to Cook while he's in the grasp. And after that play, they called timeout because everybody's over on the sideline. And they had a tight shot on McDermott there as players were starting to go on the field. And the first guy I saw go on the field was Reggie Gilliam, and I didn't know what that meant.
Right. And McDermott had one finger up.
Yeah.
Which I think meant they're going to call a timeout with 1 second left on the play clock.
Right. So that's where they use it.
All right,
that's
good. Right. We got somewhere. Kevin is next. Hi, Kevin.
Gentlemen, how about those Buffalo Bills, huh?
How about them?
Sorry, you know, I lost my voice. Hey, Sherp, I think it was you when Bulldog was out. You put the thing out on Twitter, the poll about Sean McDermott, your confidence level in him. I believe that was you, right?
No, that was me while Mike was out.
No idea.
That was me.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so anyhow, so I called in then and said I have absolutely no confidence in Sean McDermott. And after this game, I have to take that back. We get to go to Kansas City. He gets to make amends in the 13-second game in 2020. And this game was because of Sean McDermott. We know the offense didn't play well. This defense, I've never seen them be so physical before all year pretty much, I think. And they came out, they were ready to ball, and props to Sean McDermott. I never thought after 2020 I would ever say that, and I just had to get that out. Go Bills. We're winning 38-31. Thanks, guys.
You're so confident in McDermott. They're going to give up 31 points and still win. I don't know. You've never seen them be this good on defense?
Today was pretty good.
It was fine, but
yeah, I mean, and what was maybe best about it was that I think they did do a thing that I to my ears, you know, I don't know, McDermott's harshest critics, there's probably no helping them. Nothing's ever going to be right. But to me, he broke tendencies. Not that they didn't use they used three linebackers a good amount in the second half of the game against Baltimore in Baltimore, I think. But they blitzed more, at least in the first half. I've not seen the final numbers. I don't know if this might have changed after halftime with a 21-10 lead coming out to start the third quarter. But in the first half, they were in man coverage and blitzed on like almost half the dropbacks, which
right.
is an insanely big number for them. They're usually in the 20s, if that. So 20%, I mean. So they did do something different. They used, you know, Williams on the field for Johnson. I mean, they got sort of caught up in that a few times in the third quarter, I think, thinking here's Justice Hill, but they, you know, Baltimore still ran it at him and they didn't have the big people on the field. Anyway, I think McDermott should get credit for adapting, or he changed. I think he broke tendencies tonight. And maybe they don't get out to an 11-point lead in the first half without that. You know, I think Baltimore adapted to what they were doing and got some traction in the second half. But I think McDermott, the first half, I think, really was valuable to them.
I like it. I'm looking up some of my notes from around then, like around halftime. There's a play DeMar Hamlin makes to trip up Henry.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, that's a big play. It ends up being a 16-yard run. I think Henry is gone.
Yes.
If Hamlin doesn't get him. But, like, four plays later, they score it anyway. So I can't really say that's a huge play. Andrews for 12. Hill for 22. Henry for 15. Man, it's 21-19 after that touchdown. And there's a two-point pass. That's a great Milano play to break up the pass to Likely there for 21-19. That's when it started to get a little scary, I think. Like Baltimore, it looked like the Week 4 game, or even worse, yep. It looked like the Chiefs game in the playoffs last year, where it's just like the front seven is just obliterated on these plays. Where is everybody? And Baltimore gets it to two. We're down to the last 2 minutes of the third quarter. There's a Cook run after that, tackled by Hamilton. End of the third, they end up getting to the 51-yard, caller mentions Bass, 51-yard field goal, 12:04 left to make it 24-19. And then you get the next possession is the Andrews fumble after that. So the Bills, you know, right there, it's tenuous, but they get that play and are able to take another, it turns out, like 8.5, 9 minutes off the clock, adding the field goal there at the end for the 8-point lead. Without getting scored on. Here's Owen next. Hi, Owen.
Hi, gentlemen. Vibes are immaculate going into this Kansas City game. I think that this might not be the best defense we've ever had, but I think it's the healthiest defense that we've had going this deep into the playoffs. I think we're a totally different defense from that Rams game and from the Lions game. Milano's all the way back. Bernard is a stud. You know, I think whatever stutters we may have seen from the offense in this game, when Josh goes into Kansas City, we know he is just a different player. Give me the Bills. Bills going to the Super Bowl. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Here's Craig next. Hi, Craig.
Yo, what's happening, guys? I got to be honest. I love this team. 2024 was not a great year for me. So this team was kind of one of those things where, like, in life you look at it as, like, a good thing. And I enjoyed watching them. But as a football fan, I just appreciate the fact the way they play. You can tell there's been learning lessons. Like, it feels like Rocky II. Like, you got your shot now against Kansas City. You have your shot as McDermott. You have your shot as Allen. You've made your mistakes on both sides, to be honest, because Josh didn't have the best day. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to put up, because this year, for the first time with McDermott, he's had his faults, and I'm sure you all could point it out, but I have liked some of his decisions. You all brought up some of the points that he helped the team in the first half, and I'm excited to see what can you do, what can you show that is different, finally. Like, we're all waiting. We are dripping at the bone for this team to finally break through. And for so many people to have counted this team out from the start of this year, and we all saw the analysts at, you know, going into this week where it's like, Buffalo doesn't have a shot. And it's like, well, they did it. So let's go. Let's have some faith. It's been fun. Football is fun. Sports are fun. I'm loving it. Let's just get this get to the title. Let's do it. And go Bills.
Good for you, man. I'm glad the team was there for you, if it was a difficult time for you.
Me too. Here's Mason next. Hi, Mason.
Hey, guys. Hey, if you bear with me, Bulldog, I got to say, it's 30 years now I've been in this area, and I caught up with you on the radio way back when, and you were a Sox fan, so we went through them breaking that drought, and it's just been really cool. So I just want to say, I was telling the guys tonight that I haven't been through a Super Bowl with you guys because I went through the drought, the whole, you know, all that dry period. But this is awesome, and I really feel like this is our year. I'm like, come on, Kansas City, because one way or another, they're going to do it.
So. Well, I hope that's right. I hope that's right. I watched the Netflix series on the Red Sox comeback in 2004 to win that World Series, and it moved me, and really my biggest takeaway from it was I want this so bad for everybody here. Because, you know, I've gotten kind of desensitized to the Red Sox. They won 4 World Series in pretty short order. You know, after winning that first one, they won 3 more. And, you know, it's not my hometown. It's not my people. I'm just sort of, you know, I'm more distant from it now. But sort of re-engaging with it emotionally felt really good. And just made me feel like, man, I just hope you all get to do that. We all get to do that here together with the Bills.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close. 4 teams left. Guy doesn't mention me and my NBA heart aches over the years. Doesn't mention that. Like the fact that the Warriors
didn't win for all those years. He doesn't like Curry. I don't know.
And then, I mean, tears were shed. Mike is next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I'm still in the parking lot, by the way. Your brother-in-law was right.
Everybody's still in the parking lot, apparently.
Right. I've moved 4 parking spaces in an hour.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to say that I was more nervous about the Denver game. I feel like if you got bounced against them, that was just way more of a heartbreak than to lose to a team like the Ravens.
Yes,
and
I agree.
For me, I feel like we are in, cut to 20 years ago, Patriots, Colts, Steelers, how envious we were to be any of those 3 teams, watching them every week, go to the playoffs, go to Super Bowls, and we're just on the sidelines, and now we are one of those 3 teams. It's the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. If you lose to one of them, it is what it is. You're not tearing everything down. You're not rebuilding. You're coming back next year and fighting. And I think we needed to get to another AFC championship game to just be validated in those 3. Not that we weren't, but getting bounced in the divisional rounds every year, you got to get to the AFC championship game at least. Super Bowl is obviously the goal, but to be in those 3 teams, to be in the top of the league year in and year out, I mean, we're in it. How could you ask for anything more than this? Yes, you want to win a Super Bowl, but this is it.
If we lose to the Chiefs,
but I don't think we're going to. I think we got their number. I think we have the Chiefs' number. The Ravens had our number, and the Chiefs had the Ravens' number, but we flipped the script on the Ravens. So I think we got it.
Thanks. Well, I mean, I understand the sentiment, and it sounds great. it's great to be grateful and appreciative of what the Bills are and what they've built. You got to win now. Like, how many more better chances can you get? Like, the game is on the road. Well, they had the game here last year and lost. They've won there, you know, multiple times. And the Chiefs are just not that good. Like, they're good. They have the winning experience, all of that. I don't envy them. You know, winning three in a row has never happened. And that's what they're chasing. And they have a home game in the AFC Championship. You know, they've done a great job. But they have just lived on the edges all season. And I don't know, like, I'm not going to sit here right now and tell you that I'm going to feel good about the whole thing if the Bills lose next week, you know, because they're one of the best teams. Like, this is it. You beat Baltimore. You did it the only way you probably could have, which is with three takeaways and no turnovers to win by two on a drop. Like, that's what it was going to take to beat Baltimore, and you did it. Don't blow it. I mean, just don't go to Kansas City now and have what happened 4 years ago happen, where you just sort of the spotlight is blinding you, and I don't think it will.
Yeah, me but, either. I, that would be at this point. I would say for me that would qualify as stunning.
It was stunning then, but
yeah, I guess. I mean, it was all just so new. Allen was so I don't know. I looking back at it, I don't. Maybe I felt stunned at the time because we were riding a wave, but looking back at it now with the benefit of hindsight, it's not that stunning. Like, what happened to them is what I might expect to happen to Washington next Sunday. Like, we're great, I'm unflappable, but this is huge. Wow, and oh wow, they're good. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe Washington is you know, can pull it off. But either way, now this team, having been through what they've been through, and Allen having the scars he's got, I just cannot fathom them just wilting. They could lose, but I can't imagine going in there and just getting their asses kicked.
No, me neither. I mean, it should be great. But all I wanted to say to the last guy, you know, with his totally respectable take on, like, just how much fun this has all been, is, man, the Bills have come close so many times. Some of you are old enough to remember the Sabres actually coming close once or twice. Like, this is what we've been waiting for. And to go to Kansas City against a team they've beaten this year, they've beaten 4 years in a row, they've been so close to beating in the postseason, it's about the best, almost the best you can do. Right? I mean, this Bills team has not been perfect this year, but it's been very smooth. The division fell apart. They made their way to the two seed again, and they had, you know, yes, the Denver game was treacherous, and like, if you lose that game, just like Baltimore last week, it feels like a wasted year, and losing to this team shouldn't exactly feel like that. It might feel that way to Baltimore. Like, what was it all worth to have the second most yards per play and everything else that they earned this year? But you're so close now. We'll get to the locker room and hear from Dawson Knox and Ed Oliver coming up. The Bills over the Ravens, 27-25 tonight at the stadium. I guess it's tough getting out of there, as it often is, but stay patient. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Stay with us. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Bills defeat the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round 27-25 and are off to Arrowhead Stadium yet again for a playoff matchup with the Chiefs. Let's get to the locker room now. We'll hear from Dawson Knox and Ed Oliver. Player interviews brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
Just being where we are now, the goal is to keep going. So we're going to move on tomorrow night and Tuesday. We'll start looking at the Chiefs and what they do well. But for now, we're just going to enjoy this win and to be 10-0 at home this year. It's been fun.
A lot of people, understandably so, look back at the Week 4 game and think, how would things change? Offensively, you guys were far more effective. What changed this time around against them?
I think just coming into our identity as an offense, the longer a year goes on, the more that identity kind of builds on itself. The more you the more communication you have with everyone on the team, stuff we like, stuff we don't like, stuff we do well, stuff we want to move away from, it just comes with experience, like any job. The longer you do something, hopefully you're getting better at it day by day. So it's been nice to see that chemistry and that communication building up.
Also, beyond X's and O's, Ed said that he tapped into how he felt after that week four loss and used the term can of worms, and that he opened it right before this game. Do you do the same, or do you feel like this team kind of embodied a similar sort of sense?
You know, I think being underdogs at home, it wasn't really talked about for us, but I think it was in the back of our minds for sure. And knowing how that week, you said week four, knowing how that week four game went, definitely felt like we wanted to get back at them. Thankfully we did that. You know, our goal is to score one more point than them, and we did it. Some of it was ugly, some of it looked good, but end of the day, we got the win. And I think there was a little extra motivation, especially being, I think, first time Bills underdogs at home in the playoffs. I think I heard that. So it was a little extra, yeah, a little extra can of worms or whatever you want to call it.
You said to us this week there's a fine line between nervous and exciting. I liked how you put that. Nervous, you're looking at something bad happening. Excited, you're waiting for something good to happen. Tell us about your emotions throughout the game. It's close, especially in the fourth quarter. The excitement maybe, or the nervousness.
Yeah, I think this team does a great job knowing that we just got to control what we can control, not worrying about what's going to happen when the offense is off the field. The offense trusting the defense trusting the offense, kind of having that trust that goes throughout the whole team, kind of helps that nervousness die down. When you know that everyone's going to be doing their job, when you have that level of trust, that's when it's easy to turn the nervous energy into excited energy.
How much of that was maybe learned from past experiences where it didn't go the right direction the past few years?
I think it's just probably just a mental, like a mindset that you just have to kind of work on. And it's not easy to do. There's definitely times in the game where I felt nervous, but it's just human nature to feel nervous. So whenever that happens, you just have to reframe it in your head. Like, I know something good's going to happen. I'm going to go make a play. I trust the guy next to me is going to make the play when it needs to be made. So it's just kind of mental conditioning that I think this team has done a great job with.
1,001.5.
We heard from Jordan that it was a big motivator of what all the naysayers and what was being said about you guys behind the scenes.
What they were saying, I know you know what they were saying.
Well, some of it was mixed, but I think they were leaning into Baltimore.
Why you think that?
Everybody talking about it.
Yeah.
You guys weren't big enough. You weren't physical enough. Is that the kind of thing you heard this week?
I didn't hear nothing. I'm trying to get it right now. So they said we weren't big enough, wasn't physical enough.
Well, Jordan said there was a hype video playing, so you guys watched it as a team.
No. Y'all don't know that. That's confident. So they said we weren't big enough, we weren't physical enough, we couldn't stop the run, da-da-da-da-da. Right. But we won.
That's right.
So what are we talking about?
What was the key to stopping the run, Ed?
Hey, man, it takes all 11. Derrick Henry is a man. And yeah, everybody standing in this circle knows that Derrick Henry is a man. And it took all of us to not stop him, but just slow him down. And on top of that, you have Lamar, arguably the MVP of the league, you know what I'm saying? So them two together, it makes it extremely challenging to stop him, but we got the job done.
When you talk about proving something, I know that you guys don't view this as proving anything because you already do. But how good does it feel when you can reiterate it, when you know that you can show the world what you guys can do and maybe shut a few of them up?
I don't know. Like, they ain't gonna lie, they got the best of us. What was that, week four? Week four, they got the best of us. And, you know, coming out of that game, I knew we had to see these guys again. So you just kind of compartmentalize that, put that in the back of your mind, and you open up that can of worms right before the game. Especially, I know that's what I did. I opened up that can of worms. I remember exactly how I felt. And that kind of helped me. It gave me all the motivation I needed.
Did it do anything for you guys heading into today, knowing that if you win this game, you get Kansas City for sure? Because that could be a distraction.
I mean, one thing, and everybody, like I say, everybody in this circle knows the same thing. Go to the Super Bowl to reach your dreams and aspirations. You got to go through KC. Everybody knows that. We knew that. The Ravens knew that. The Texans knew that. Everybody that watches football knows you got to go through Kansas City if you want to win a Super Bowl.
You said on Thursday you'd be ready for the whams and the traps. Did they try to do that to you tonight?
You know what? I didn't see one wham or one trap, so it must have worked. I was kind of trying to throw a little wrench in a game, and saying that I was aware of it kind of will hopefully make them stir away from it. I ain't going to say it did or it didn't, but I was keyed into it, and I was damn sure ready for it.
You guys can-
Dawson Knox, Ed Oliver, and the Bills onto the AFC Championship for the second time here in 5 seasons, 2020, and now the 2024 season, and as then, Bills at Chiefs for the right to go to the Super Bowl this year in New Orleans. Thanks for listening. If you want more, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on our flagship station, WGR. Enjoy the rest of your night. This is Buffalo Bills football.